everything in Olam Hazeh, Kedusha, you have to, you know, like we're going to see. No, it takes the gear to get to the Kedusha.
The gear?
The great, yeah, work. We're going to speak about it today. And the more, the greater the Kedusha of the thing often, right, the more difficult it is to get to it.
Wow.
So if you have a day or a Shem Vayachai, you know, to fight and get into the Kedusha over there. That's the question. It's like that. Kol HaKadosh Yotzea Chorov. Famous words in Ramban. What I want to do with you today, famous Gemara. Probably done it already.
They're all famous, aren't they?
Yeah, well, some of them are more famous than others. I noticed the Ramchal Siyot said I wouldn't send that to you right now. We have a working with you. Pasuk is going on what we say in Krishma with your Safta Digoneva. This is in Brachas of Daf Lamed Hayam Beit. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanim, V'yasafta Digonecha. You know what a Safta Digonecha means? V'yasafta Digonecha. You say it every day in Krishna.
Add to your garden.
V'yasafta Digonecha. Means you will gather in your wheat, your wine, and your oil. V'ayo im Shemoa, it's Shemoa, it's called Mitzvosai. Yeah, you have to. Very good. So I'll say, Shalom Aleichem. I'm from Brussels.
You don't play.
So we're speaking about Gemara in Krishma. V'yasafta digonecha. You know the pasuk V'yasafta digonecha. You'll gather in your wheat, your wine, and your oil. So the Gemara asks a question. It says it's a contradiction because it says in Yehoshua Aleph, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, Lo yamush sefer ha-tarazem ipicho, that the sefer shouldn't leave your mouth. Now, what's the simple pshat that the sefer shouldn't leave your mouth? The simple pshat is that a person should spend all of his time learning. This is what it says. When they're going into Eretz Yisrael, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Lo yamush ha-sefer ha-tarah ha-zeh mipicho. Means I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't want you ever to stop learning there. All day. All of the time. So, and it was never good tonight. Wait, so the Gemara asks, wait a second. It says that also in Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael when they go into Eretz Yisrael, V'yosafta digonecha. V'yosafta digonecha means that you're going to gather in your wheat, which means what? You have a farm, you're going to harvest your wheat, your wine, and your oil. That's, you know, wheat, that's talking about, you know, cutting down with your combines, you know, about combines back in those days. Big combines. Threshing, you know, dash, threshing, winnowing, you know, winnowing is, and all these things. Then not only there, tirshecha, wine, the grapes, presses, olives, the oil. It's a lot of work. And then he said to Yeshua, "Lo yamush sefer Torah." How could he say to Yeshua, "The only yamush sefer Torah is emi picho"? What's going on? How do we understand these two obligations? None of that seems to be the two go together. So says Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael has a way of unifying these two psukim. He does it perhaps in a simple way. So he says that when it says Lo yamush sefer Torah hazeh mipicho, so he writes the following words: Hinhag bohen minhag derech eretz. That with the Torah that you do, you have to. Both are true. You have to carry out with them the minhag of derech eretz. Derech Eretz means that you must go by the way of the earth. Which is talking about, see, zocher to the law, follow the laws of nature. You have to keep the Torah, but at the same time, you have to be involved in Derech Eretz. He says, why? Says Rashi, Kohen Rabbi Shmuel, Shim tevol yidei tzorech habriyah, is because if you don't take care of your physical needs in this world properly, Sofech livotel midivrei Torah. In the end, you're going to stop learning as well. If you don't take care of yourself physically, in the end, you won't have any spiritual development. As a result, says Rabbi Yishmael, that's how we learn these two things. And why are they true? They're both true. But with the Torah you need there. Now, that's Rabbi Yishmael. However, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, as we know, had another way of learning these two things. Comes Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, you know, speaking about Meron. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had a different understanding about Hishtadlis and Bitachar, as you know. Yeah, he didn't put in too much time, yeah, during those 12 years in the cave, yeah, to his physical life, you know what I'm saying? He was there eating carob, you know. I said, when I was in, I had a cab driver when I was in Maron, the cab driver, he says, ah, I was on Lag BaOmer. He says he was a Gruzini, you know, Gruzini is from the colony, was in Georgia, in part of Russia.
Whoa.
So he said, ah, he says, say Lag BaOmer, we love Rav Shimon bar Yochai, we're having a big suit of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, yeah. We have incredible time, Lag BaOmer. So he said, why do you love Shimon bar Yochai so much? Like, I was sort of interested, what's their kesher about? Why do we love Shimon bar Yochai? He says, we're Gruzinis. Yeah. He was also a Gruzini. We love each other. So he said, what do you mean he's a Gruzini? I mean, you know, not from Russia. Because no, he says, what do we do? We have a good time in life. We love to eat. We like to drink. Rav Shimon also, what did he do? Sit around eating carrying a drink. So it didn't sound to me like such a good old Jose there. He was just eating carrying a drink. The guy said that. That's a very funny guy. He was a little bit drunk, this guy, driving the cab.
Oh,
my
God. Oh no!
Yeah, this funny guy. He gave me a gun. I like you, he goes, 15 shekels, like a 25 shekel ride.
Okay. Wow.
Then he drove me up, then he drove me up, and he had to go another way. There was somebody else who got in the cab, he took them also. And he left me up, you know, I said, you can let me up by the stairs instead of driving to my house, so, you know, wouldn't have to go out of his way so much. He goes, why? You're going to have to walk down the stairs to your house. He says, 10 shekels, I'll just give you 10. So he said, I'll give you 12. There's no 10. I said, in the end, we settled, but I gave him 12 instead of 10. It's the guy kind of. Anyway, I was like, on top of him. Anyway, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, anyway, had a different havana about how to put these psukim together. It says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Epsha Adam, Choreish Bishas Charisha. Is it possible for a person to plow at a time of plowing? Zorei b'shas zriya, sow at a time of sowing. Kotze b'shas ktira, cut at a time of cutting. Dash b'dash disha, thresh at a time of threshing. Zorei b'shas zorei, ruach, winnow. There's so many. What are you talking about? That you should be minag with derech eretz. How much time are you going to have left to learn here? Go ahead and work. How much time are you going to have left to learn? You know how much time it takes to plow your field, and then after you plow it, you have to cut it, and then after you have to sow, you have to zit, you have to sow, and you have to cut it, and then you have to winnow it, and you have to do this. I mean, dash and all the different stages. Yeah, if you do all of those things, Torah mate alel, what's going to be? The Torah. It's the end of the Torah. What are you talking about? Ella. Yeah, it says Reb Shimon, that when it says Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zemi Picho, just learn, you should know the Torah is telling you Bizman Shisrael Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, when Yisrael does the will of Hashem, yeah, they don't have to do any hishtadlis in this world to take care of their physical needs. Hashem will send others to do it for them. So he writes, you don't have to do zero. As I say, it's Rav Shimon. And what about V'yasafta Diganecha? It says, not only that. Oh, it says, what's about V'yasafta Diganecha? You'll carry it. That pasuk, that's talking about when Yisrael aren't doing the Ritzon Shel Makom. If you're doing the Ritzon Shel Makom, so then no Yishtadlis. But if you stop doing mitzvot and stop doing the Ritzon Hashem, so then you have to take care of yourselves. Nechanami. But the person wants to do the Ritzon Hashem, Hashem will take care of him, and he doesn't have to take care of himself. Machlok is over here. And how to learn these two psukim. Now, let me go into these two sides. I want to explain this. We'll see the Gemara is going to pass on this machlok in a minute. But I want to explain Rabbi Shmuel here first, who says Hinhag Bohen Minhag Derech Eretz. What is actually Rabbi Shmuel saying? You have to do both. So the Mefarshim explained that Rabbi Shmuel, you know, in general, what's the source of the fact that we have to take care of our physical needs in this world? The source goes back already to Adam HaRishon, after the Chet. So Hashem had a very powerful thing to say to Adam HaRishon. You know, Bezeis Apecha Tochal Lechem. You know what that means? Bezeis Apecha. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. You'll eat bread by the sweat of your brow. Which means that after the Chet, so if you want to eat bread in this world, you have to sweat. Ein Eitzah. That's it. Now, this concept, Zeis Apecha Tochal Lechem, before we talk about it a bit, what does it mean, Zeis Apecha Tochal Lechem? Why dafka bread? You know, they say this thing, why bread? So say it's dependent on this bracha. We spoke about it once. Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Everybody's upset about this blessing. Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Brings bread from the ground. You know, Kushwa doesn't bring bread from the ground, it brings wheat. Uh-huh. What do you say? So they say, no, originally in Ganein, there was a wheat tree, a bread tree, and this beautiful tree. And what happened was that the kernels of wheat, they would sort of bake in the sun, they would turn into rolls, money yotes. You'd go, you'd pick up one of these, and bread tree, it's incredible, huh? You have a whole wheat bread tree, you know, some of the sesame seeds, you know what I mean? You can have some of them. What's that? Challah
tree.
Yeah, challah tree, and Shabbos, you have your challah tree, and braided and challah, you know.
Right. And it drops automatically, you don't have to pick it, it's true.
It's right, it's unbelievable.
Shabbos,
it's funny. Right, that's right. A wheat tree.
Can't pick it up.
That's what you're supposed to remember when you say, Emotzi lechem min haaretz. However, yeah, after the Chet, what happened was is that wheat tree turned into the wheat that we have today. Now, if you look at the wheat that we have today, so what happens, where is that wheat? You have that little piece of kernel of chita that you could eat and be nourished by. But it's surrounded by so many different levels of bread, and then an outer level of bread, and then a level of chaff, and then the stone. You know? You have to get it, and then you have to, once you get it out, free it from all of the... So you have to grind it up again and make more flour. And Chazal say, they talk about it, there are 10 words in the bracha, Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz, right? So when you hold it, you're supposed to have 10, hold it with your 10 fingers, say a bracha with 10 words. Why 10 words and 10 fingers? Sometimes, good morning. You know why? Don't say the 10 series, you're not learning Kabbalah. That's easier. You know why? Go out. He said, because there are 10 stages in making bread. 10 things, malachas, in making bread. All they have to do are the sifting, the breaking, and crushing, and winnowing, and dashing, until finally you're able to get the wheat out. Yeah. And then you can begin to develop and make 10 processes where it used to come naturally. How much shigiyah it takes. Now, they go further, the Gaon writes about this, and others, with Chaim Volozhiner, going back to Nefesh HaChayim. So he writes his famous statement, good morning, he writes his famous statement that you probably spoke about many times, the Eitz HaDas Tov V'ra. So he writes, if you remember, that Das over there doesn't mean the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but means the tree that connects good to evil. Das is language of Chibor, V'yedor Adam Es Ishto and Chava. You knew it. It's talking about connection. So he writes that Adam Rishon, before the Chet, it was a different world. What was good was good. What was bad was bad. There was pure Tovah. And the heart of a human being, 100% pure, 100% pure. Orange juice, That was the only thing, the last time in this world that things were 100% pure. Everything now is additives. And outside there was Rav, but the person... complete Tov, and in all of the Olamos, there were things that you'd see around you, pure Tov. You could look around this world and have pure Tov. You eat something, no side effects, only nourished like the man. It was pure toe. It was back to another. Day. Today you eat something, and again it's soulless. And the body has to get rid of it. The man, there was no waste. No waste from when I ate the man. It was from this man, like it was from another world. It was pure toe without tarovis of ra. And therefore there was nothing for the body to waste. Everything was used. But before the chait, the whole world was like that. And then he says, and especially the heart of a human being, he was able to do an action in this world that was 100% pure. In this world, there's no such thing anymore of that. You decide that you want to give tzedakah, you know, so in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what's my tax rebate going to be? You know, and then you're also thinking, oh, everybody's going to see me, I'm going to be a great tzaddik, look what I am, you know, you're starting to wonder if I'm going to do something, oh, it's Hashem's ratzon, it's just right, I'm going to get a, you know, do an action in this world that's pure tov. It doesn't exist in Olam Hazeh. Go and find a pure mindset in Olam Hazeh. So he said, after the chait of Adam Harisha, so what happened was is that all tov and ra became mixed together. Everything that happens in life now became mixtures of tov and ra. Right? That's how it worked out. Everything became mixed up. Tov and ra. You know, Ravito. And as a result, the heart of a person as well, everything became shades of gray. You know what I'm saying? Everything mixed up. And not just, he writes, did that happen in our world, but he says, in all of the universes as well, Tov and Rav became mixed together. Everything is this. Ochel and Psoilus. Tov and Rav. It's a different world. So I said, today, you won't find anything pure. It's a not shine. As a result, the avoda of a person in this world after that has changed completely. What's the avoda of a person now? Becomes an avoda of what I call borer. You know, borer is, everybody learned Hilchos Shabbos, you know, borer is the main work of a human being in this world. Yeah, that you're left with you know, something you can eat and something that you can't. It's all mixed together. And I have to try to, first of all, look at it and figure out, you know, what is the rock? And what is the piece of wheat? It's not so easy, you know. You ever get them mixed up and all of a sudden you're chewing. There goes your tooth. So, yeah, this is everything is mixed together. This is when Bnei Yisrael went into exile. So they had to mix, knead their dough in the holes that they made in the ground. And as a result, there were little stones that used to get mixed in. And then they started eating the bread. They used to break their teeth. I think that's a mashal going into Golis. It's a mashal of exile. You go into an impure environment, and then everything makes it. You start trying to eat and break your teeth. Anyway, and so what's the avoda? First, you have to try to figure out what's tov and what's ra. And then you have to, whatever you find is ra, you have to sift out and push out. And then you have the tov. The tov that you have also isn't ready to eat yet. Then you have to take the tov and you have to develop it, bake it until you can be nourished from it. How much yagia does it take? It's a world of yagia. And that concept, yeah, motzi lechem min haaretz. That concept of tov and ra, as I said, going through that border, separating out and going through, it's even more than that, because the truth is, it's because the tov that exists after the chay is covered over with layers and layers of ra, like we were speaking about. You go to Meiron, you know, I mean, I'm saying it's ra, that's fine, that's beautiful there, but I'm just saying, you know, nobody realizes that, you know, in Meiron and Lagom, I was thinking about this when I was there. If you could get close to, like, the real source of Kedusha there, well, you could be dancing with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you could be having, like, Zohars, you know, revealed to you by the thousands, you know, you could be flying, you know, no idea, like, when Yuri was there, Rav Shimon was dancing with the Yuri, you know, around, you have no idea what Lag BaOmer could be, on but, you know, to get there after going by all the guys in Gush Katif, you know what I mean, and the big screens and the movies, and then all the people selling all these different types of things, then all the people, the girls and the guys there on the outside doing all sorts of things. You know, to go and find that nekuda of kedusha there, you know, and extract it and bring it out and be nourished. You think it's going to come naturally? It's a clown. Spiritually now, after the chait, nothing comes naturally. Everything comes with yigiyah. The tov is still here. only the tov that's still there. Yeah, you have to get to it for work. Hosea's a pecha tocha lech. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't take away or change his tov at all after the chay. But he put us in a situation whereby if you want to bring out the tov at 10 stages, you can pass. For you get nourished by it, takes your gear. And therefore everything comes to work. Right, it's interesting because right before the klola to Chava, what's the klola that was given to Chava? Tzar Gidol Vodi. Every stage of having children is going to be painful. And the most painful is called Tzar Gidol Vodi. You'll all experience in Mitzvah Shem Vodi. Tzar Gidol Vodi. Don't think it means that it's changing diapers. changing diapers is, you know, once you have teenagers, you look back on the days of changing. Ay, vey, it was great, just easy time, you know what I mean? All my problems with that, you know what I mean? Tzar Gidol Vodi means that you have a child, you can have a child that's grown up with a neshama, like Shimon Bar Yochai there, you know? But that, don't think that Nolam is that because the person has a soul like that, yeah, that soul is going to come out and develop without any problem or difficulty. Other Rambam, kid that's smart in this world of Tov and Ra, that child is going to see every hypocrisy and inconsistency in the Haredi. You know what I mean? Not that there are any. Yeah, but any that are there, he'll see. You know what I mean? So, and a normal kid, he won't care about them at all. You know? And then all the different questions of Emunah that people don't care about, he's also going to worry about. You know? And how could it be? What do you mean? So like there was once a kid who once asked his father when he was 4 years old, how could it be that, you know, when he asked his child, yeah, when Hashem comes into the room, does he take up space? Yeah, the father didn't know how to answer this question, and the kid was like, genius. You know, get a 4-year-old to ask that question, you're talking about a genius. And he was, he grew up to be a famous person, but I'm just saying, you know, he said that, you know, that who was it, when he was 3 years old, the Rogachev, I think it was the Kedusha Yerim, when he was 3 years old, so somebody, he had an uncle who came up to him, he said to him, you know, I'll give you a quarter or whatever, a piece of money, if you can tell me where Hashem is. Yeah, so the 3-year-old, Kedusha Rebbe, answered back. He said, I'll give you 2 shekels if you can tell me where he's not. You know, but you think, anyway, you think that just because you have a child with a neshama like that, Nolam Hazeh, it's going to be easy to do it. It's the exact opposite. That in Olam Hazeh, yeah, that neshama is like a piece of wheat that's hidden under level and level of chaff. And your job is to bring it out, yeah, get away the chaff and separate it off this way and that way, and then find it and develop it and find the proper rebbe's and the proper thing, you know what I mean? And go and dafka because he's, you know, he'll have this yonos, you know, and have some rebbe that'll, who know what, get upset and hit him over the head one day, and who knows what. Don't ask what the disonus will be. That's called Tzar Gidol Vodi. Yeah, that Tzar Gidol Vodi means that that's Chavasin, it's the same Kloa, that after the Chay, we live in a world where the Tov is exactly as it was, the incredible levels of Tov. But all of the Tov is Murav with Ra. It's all mixed together. Bezei is a pecha toch alechem. Yeah, if you want that bread out, you're going to have to sweat. Bezei is a pecha. Not only that, they write, but that's that not only are you going to have to sweat, but that's not really a punishment, you know, like what Gessler writes. None of the punishments are meant to be through vengeance. But it's the exact opposite. The only benefit that a person will have spiritually in this world is if he works on something after the Chay. Gemara says down, the fortune bring down the Gemara in Sanhedrin, famous Gemara, Adam le Omul Yulad, a person who's created to work. And the Gemara gives 3 possibilities. You can be steel worker, what do they call them in America? Blue collar worker, you know. Physical work, you know. Ramo Pair, you can be a professor, you know. Intellectual work, or spiritual work. But one thing is clear, Adam la Amul Yulon. And Rabbi Yochum explains this more, he says like this. He says, he brings down the mission in Perkei Avos. Gadol Torah in Derech Eretz, we're going to see Torah and work goes is very important. Shiyigia Shneihem Mishkachas Avoy. That the work of Shneihem is Mishkachas Avoy, he forgets Avoy. So he writes that since Adam, after the Chay, has the Yetzer Hara in his heart now, he said there's only one way for a person to deal properly with that Yetzer Hara. There's only one way. The one way is work. Work is the only way in this world to deal with the Yetzer Hara. It is the great tikkun. He says, it doesn't say, it's not true, he writes, that Torah is the tikkun. Torah is a tremendous tikkun with work. It says, Omo b'Torah. But Torah without work is no tikkun for the Yetzer Hara of the person. It's the Zeya itself that in the end enables you to eat bread. The Zeya is a perfect, you have to work. And therefore he writes, you should know, he says, and even we know, for physical work itself, he writes, I think anybody knows this, if you've ever worked hard at something, a job, anything that you've done and you've worked hard and you've achieved something, he says, a person knows that you feel a certain purity through hard work. It's miyasha the human being. It gives him miyashras. It gives him a sense of accomplishment. And when you do that, you feel afterwards that you have no thoughts of chet. And as soon as a person leaves that yigiyah of making a living through hard work, and he tries to make it on the stock market, or go to the casinos, and he wants to make a living without work, he's in the hands of the yetzer hara, and he has no way of being mitaken. So you do a... Any find a person who wants to make a living without work, and he's corrupted. There's no, it corrupts his very nature. Gambling, we all know, anybody who gambles, his whole nature becomes corrupted by him. Because he's not working. Stag aristocrats who are born with all the money in the world, they're corrupt. They become corrupt. It's very hard for them to get, because they don't have anything to work for. That's even for that non-Jew, it doesn't have to be, whatever. I always say, find a kid who's in trouble. A kid who's going off the derech, you know what I mean? Not interested in it. So what's the tikkun for a kid like that? The tikkun is get him to work. Get him to work at anything. Once he works, his midos start coming in line and he starts responsible, starts changing over. Get a guy who's just hanging around. He writes, mishkachas avoy. Person forgets chayt. Work itself is a tavlin. And it's the way in the tikkun that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us after the chayt to remove the ra from the world and from the human being. It's all totally unavoid. Only there are different types of work. The greatest thing is you can work in Torah. You can work in Torah, so then the power of the Torah is mamish fire that will uplift the human being if you're able to work in Torah. Say somebody who's learning and not working doesn't do it. But even physical work does that. It's a cloud. The Amo Yuma. So he writes that the zeis apecha toch alechem, that you should eat by the sweat of your brows, it's not an onish, it's a tikkun. That once Adam Arishon ate from the chayt and confused and mixed evil and good inside himself and in the entire world, so then it takes work to find that good, and the work itself is a tikkun for that. And that's the klal. And as a result of that, a person can't live without work. That's point number one. So we can understand Rabbi Yishmael, he comes out and says, you have to work once. Now, the question over here is, in what, as I said to you before, in what will you work? Now here, we're getting closer to this argument, Rabbi Yishmael says something else. He says that a person, he says, the second response, result of this chayt of Adam Arishon, was that not just that you have to work, which is true, nothing comes naturally anymore. That's the big answer. Everybody in America hopes and has a dream that just by nature, naturally everything will be okay. That's what everybody searches out, this way of life where you can just, lean back and be natural. And here, it's like everybody, especially in America, especially in California, people are searching out of this type of, you just gotta be natural. And what does it mean to be natural? You just gotta go with nature and its ultimate good and purity and 100% believe by God. Be natural. I remember when I was, in the 60s, most of you are too young to remember the 60s. Mm-hmm. But I remember in the 60s, so I was a bit younger at the time, but I remember we were talking about Haredi Woodstock. I remember that the brothers and sisters of my friends, the older ones, were coming back from Woodstock. And I remember that. And they had this one guy, I remember, who was a real hippie, you know, so he was very into nature. So he got married, you know, with another hippie, hippie. And the two of them, they were very into nature. So they got married. I don't want to say whether they actually got married or not, but let's assume that they did, you know. But everything is natural and good, so you don't really need marriage, of course. That's for middle class, you know, bourgeois people who are like hung up with hang-ups. People were like really natural. Brains, you know, blown out on drugs. But anyway, yeah, it's unnatural, but anyway. So they decided that when they got married, that what are they going to do? They decided that their first child, they were going to go hiking, you know, deep into the woods, and he was going to deliver the baby themselves, on their own, deep into the woods, yeah, in the middle of the forest, yeah, with no medical training.
Wow.
Is this guy an idiot or what? You know? Yeah. And they said, this is a true story. You don't believe me. This is how these people were. Out to lunch. You know, sorry, you know, out to lunch. Nobody's home. You know, that expression means out to lunch. You ever thought about it? You put a sign on, like, nobody's there. The office is empty. So the two of them, Mamish did it. They went out with a little tent, you know, when she was, you know, 9 months pregnant, right? Camped out in the middle of the woods, far from a doctor and everything. Michal had like a do-it-yourself book of child delivering. And, you know, they had a nurse and the baby didn't die. You know,
wow.
It wasn't so fortunate, you know. She starts going to labor and she starts screaming over there, you know. And then, you know, a certain problem, you know, and the placenta comes out a little bit around the neck, and, you know, what's the hand? Besides that, infections and all. I mean, she's kind of unconscious. The guy's a murderer. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it didn't go easily, but the child didn't die, and who's to say he's going to tie the placenta properly, you know, and all the things, and all the blood leaves at the end, you know what I mean? Baruch Hashem, you know, the kid didn't die, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
Yeah. I don't know how long the parents stayed together, you know, another year or two, you know, that relationship. But, you know, and the kids grew up with their parents, but anyway, where did they go wrong, you know? It says in the Chumash that the Klala was, you know, Tzar Gibel Bani, that life doesn't come into this world in such an easy way. You want life in this world, you have to do a lot of work to make sure that life comes out properly. If you think that, you know, we live in a world where nature is just tov and good and just relax and everything, we got, yeah, you're living in an, you know, post-hate world. And if you don't work to improve and bring out life into this realm, who's to say you'll get life? You know, that's the problem. They didn't want to believe that reality. People still long for that. There's a lot of people looking for that world. Bli yegiah, only tov, without any problems, without any, all the things and drug cultures. I just want tov without having to work for it. All of Avodah Zorah is based on that also. Why do I have to work on my nidos? Work on I just want a mystical experience, you know, without having to work on my nidos, without having to learn Gemara. Yeah, I'll take a pill, you know. I made it to God. Yeah, and then what happens when you start taking these drugs? You lose the ability to work. You can't work anymore. For sure. That once a person gets on drugs, they can't have any motivation to work anymore. They lose all their motivation. Because you're so used to these highs without work that, no, you have to work for something. What do you mean work for something? Next. You can't work. It saps. You do it. The main problem of drugs is that it saps a person's motivation to work. That's not a minor problem, because once you lose motivation to work, you're in Olam Hazeh, where everything only comes through work. And once you lose your motivation to work, you're finished. You're going to be left poor. You're going to be left with... You won't have the ability to have relationships with people. You won't have the ability to make a living. You're going to be a failure. You're going to be non-functional.
Right.
That's the problem with drugs. You know, it makes people non-functional. You know? It basically crushes their motivation to work. So you're doing it. And that's, you know... All of the concepts of long hair, you know, like the hippies. And what's the concept between of long hair? Why was long hair so in? What is the symbol of long hair?
Not cutting it.
Why?
Not cutting hair.
What's the symbol of long hair? Anybody know?
Rebellion.
What?
Rebellion.
Yeah, why is the symbol of rebellion?
This is not normal.
Short hair is a symbol of work. It's a symbol that I'm controlling myself and I'm working and I'm keeping myself in order and I'm excellent. Long hair, I'm just letting things go. I don't have to work. I'm naturally good by itself. Why should I do anything to myself? That's why it's a symbol. It's a symbol of just, I'm just letting things go. But in the end, as we say, that's destructive. Now, as a result, we don't grasp. So it comes out that in Olam Hazeh, in the world that we live in today, two things. One is, says Rabbi Yishmael, that you have to work. The second thing is, here's Rabbi Yishmael adds a chiddush. Rabbi Yishmael says that you have to work to take care of your physical needs. Yeah. Meaning the following, that if you don't have a plan in order to take care of your physical needs in this world, you will not develop spiritually. You just won't make it. Well, we live in a world where a person is obligated to have a proper plan and take care of his physical needs. Says Rashi, if you don't do it, so far we vatel midivrei Torah. In the end, you'll be wrong. Because after the chait, Kodesh Baruch Hu take care of our physical needs. After the chait, he didn't. And therefore, Rabbi Yishmael writes, those are the two psukim, that if you want to grow spiritually, you must take care of yourself physically in all aspects of your body, of your parnasa. You don't have a choice. There's no choice. That's Rabbi Yishmael. That's, we'll see. It's not, we're not talking here about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. However, I just want to add something about Rabbi Yishmael. You know, like the Gemara says, you know, we'll see the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara, we'll see, and then talks about this later on. Yeah. Where it ends, that Rava used to say to his students, says Rava, what did he used to say? Rava passed him like Rava used to pass him like Rabbi Shmuel. Amar le Rava le Rabbanin used to say to the Rabbanin, "Mitusa minayhu, I beg you, in the days of Nisan, in the days of Tishrei, I don't want to see you in the Beis Medrash. I'm closing the Beis Medrash in the days of Nisan and Tishrei. Why?" Yeah, because Nisan and Tishrei is the time to work. You can make money working in the fields. Because you're going to stay learning in the Beis Medrash, Nisan and Tishrei. And then what's going to happen? Yeah, the main Zman is going to come when? Yeah, in the winter, or in the summer. Yeah, but you didn't work in the fall. Now in the middle of the winter, you're not going to have any money. You're going to be hungry, and you're not going to learn. And you're going to ruin your whole year of learning. So do me a favor. When it's time to work, the God and work, I'm closing the Beis Medrash. I don't want to see anybody here, is to say. And then, you have enough to keep yourself going. So then, all during the winter, you'll be able to learn with Menuchas HaNefesh and you'll steig, and you'll grow spiritually. Now, there are a few things to say about Rabbi Yishmael's chiddush over here. A few minutes left. This is a big shiur that requires a lot of hesber, you know, step by step. But the first thing is, that you can ask a very basic question over here. Yeah. When it says, tell me, when it says in the Chumash, "Zeh zepecha toch alechem," what is the pshat that we're supposed to get out of it? Is the pshat like this, that up until now, the Kaddish Baruch Hu took care of Adam. But now, after the chet, you're on your own. You have to take care of yourself. And if you don't take care of yourself, I'm not going to take care of you any of the world. Is that the pshat in the claw?
No.
How do you know? Bring a proof. That's the Pashuk word, "Bezeh zepecha toch alechem." Me, I'm not going to care of you anymore. And so it's you have to do everything. If you don't do anything, you're finished. What's the pshat? So before you say like you're saying, that's not the pshat. The Chovos Levavos writes about this in Shahar Bitoch, and he says the following. He says, Avadai, you know, Chas V'Shalom to think that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take care of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should know, Rav Dessler writes about this as well, you should know that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us after the Chait, exactly as he took care of us before the Chait. He's still taking care of us. Only what? He says that once Adam Rishon ate, Adam Rishon wanted to serve Hashem through a physical world. That was his Chait. Hashem, let me create a physical world and serve you there, and that'll be a greater Kiddush Hashem. Once he did that, that means that he gave reality that man is obligated to be in the physical world And do what we call hishtadlus, which means try to do something that makes sense according to natural law. But the main avoda is when he's doing that, he has to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of me exactly as he was taking care of me in Gan Eden. Nothing has really changed. Nothing. What do you mean nothing's changed? Before you didn't have to sweat, and now look at the sweat pouring down your brow. What do you mean nothing's changed? Nothing's changed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still sustaining me 100%. Yeah, in Rosh Hashanah, it's already Nigzar, how much money I'm going to get. He's taking care of me this time. Only what? There's a decree that I'm obligated to abide by the laws of nature. And therefore, that's what we call Shabbat, I have to work according to that. And that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to serve Hashem. But Ikar Avoda is Dafka, to work, and through work, at the same time know that Hashem is taking care of you, which He really is. And then there you'll find your Tikkun of the Chayitz. Work is the Ikar Tikkun, but it's a work of Bitochon. Now, it makes a difference if you ask me what difference does it make, you're working anyway. But it makes a tremendous difference. You know why? Because if Hashem left you alone, the truth would be that if you don't do anything, you're starved. But if you realize there's another level, you realize that you have to work, but really, you're just doing what we call something to be yotza the klala. You just have to make it look good. In the end, Hashem's taking care of you anyway. So therefore, it's possible, how much do you have to work? Who is to say? You're not really doing it yourself. Let's say you buy a lottery ticket. That might be enough for you, for Hashem to take care of you. Because once it's possible that it works according to natural law, so Hashem will do the rest, you know? So lav dafka, we're really on our own, chas v'shalom. All you need is a plan. If you have a plan that makes sense according to Teva, and you have the ratzon to Hashem, so then Hashem will do the rest, but you need a plan. That's how he's learning. Okay, you need a plan. That's Rabbi Yishmael. You need a plan in all of this. Bani Hashem is a, you need a plan. A person will come and say, how are you going to make a living? I don't have a plan. What's going to happen? I'm trusting in Hashem. What are you talking about? You have to go according to the laws of nature. It's not the world after the chayt. You have to have a plan. It makes sense. However, if you have a plan that makes sense, so then you can rely on that plan if you're trying to do the right thing to Hashem, and Hashem will take care of you. It has to be a plan that makes sense. And then you can rely on Hashem. But we don't live without plans. That's the level of bitachon of Rabbi Shmuel. For him, bitachon is obligated through the klal to work through the laws of nature. Yeah. And therefore, I need a plan, and without a plan, I'm not doing the Ritzon Hashem. But I know that my work is, once I make a plan, so that I'm relying on Hashem to do the rest, and I go, we have to have a reasonable plan. That's the klal of Rabbi Yishmael. We don't do anything in life without a reasonable plan. We don't have that inyan, that luxury, to just say Hashem will do the rest. After the chayt, b'zeh zekech atoch alechem, you need work. It's going according to the laws of nature. So he learns over here. That's what he smiles. So, which is very powerful and important. You don't have a plan. Who's to say you'll learn in the end? You don't have some sort of reasonable plan. Says Rabbi Shmuel. You don't work without a plan. In the end, you'll be learning less. You won't grow spiritually. You'll be so anxious that you don't know where your bread will come from tomorrow that you won't be able to sit and learn with Menuchas and Nefesh. And you won't be able to open up a Gemara soon. It's so resentful. Because you didn't do enough work to take care of your physical needs. So Rabbi Shmuel said. Now, there happens to be another day, which I'm not going to speak about. I'm going to stop already, because I think I've already said too much. However, it's Friday morning. It's already, can't say too much Chomer on a Friday. So, high quality time. Nevertheless, it's a very powerful thing that he's saying. That's the klal. That's how he calls the yisod of hishtablis. Hishtablis means that I'm obligated to have a plan according to the laws of nature, and then I'm relying on Hashem that he's doing the rest, and he'll do the rest. But you must have a plan. And dafka, through work itself that you're doing, that's the tikkun of the person, because we live in a world where tov is deeply hidden. And if you want to try to bring out the tov, Muna and everything, it's all there as it was before the Chayt. It takes the gear in order to get there. It takes work, and work is the tikkun. Okay, next week, Mr. Sam, we'll go through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We'll talk about how the two go together. We only half finished with this tomorrow.